Get ready. It's time for
Operation Late Night Excitement.
Top rated late night radio.
The awesomest night of all time.
After dark.
It's late night with Hancock and Kelly.
You deserve a fun night.
On KMOX.
I was out in that wind today. I was doing my exercise in the wind.
I can see it blowed. It blew your hair.
It blew my hair all up. But there was a
blew
there
my
was,
hair too.
I was walking out of the West End towards St. Louis U. You know, it's like a giant hill in St. Louis.
Yeah.
You know, from the arch to you know, like where St. Louis U is.
There's a hill.
You're going up a hill.
You're going up a hill.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you start to come down a hill.
And you come down the hill.
So I was walking
that
up
often
this
happens
hill
when you go up
into
hill
this wind. But you don't realize the topography change. How about that word, huh?
Topography.
Topography. Huh. That was a big word. But anyway, I was like leaning into this wind. Like it could almost hold you up. It was blowing that bad out.
Could hold you up, the wind.
Now, when you came down to meet up with me this evening.
Yeah.
We were greeted by the rain suddenly.
The rain came in.
I didn't even
in
know it was going to rain today.
Yeah, it was raining when I left my house.
Oh, really?
Come down and play a little pool. Play a little pool at Michael Kelly's
office. You're doing your regular shtick in a way that makes people think that it was probably a regular performance.
Incredible.
But the reality is that our last game
amazing
was within, what, 4 points?
Yeah.
4 points.
Yeah. I mean, you got every break that every piece of luck that any person could ever hope to achieve in one small game of pool.
Yeah.
And I scratched not one, not two, Michael, 6 times.
Isn't that a part of the game, though?
It is a part of the game.
Because don't I scratch a lot when we play?
Nothing like this.
Because I'm not that good of a player.
Nothing like this. And you had me by, I want to say, 15, 16 points at one point.
Yeah.
But when the tail of the tape was read at the end, all was right in the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So, but this was pool that we played today.
Yeah,
it wasn't
snooker
our regular game, which is snooker.
You're giving up on snooker.
I'm not giving up. There's something demoralizing about it. I have not won a snooker game yet this year.
You have. We're on it's actually a 20-1 run.
But I mean, I've had a couple of games where I get in close. And here's my problem, folks.
Yeah.
This is not the thing that I'm doing for entertainment. What I enjoy about my
the fellowship,
Fridays with you,
and I enjoy
spending
as well
a little time with you. Sometimes
yes
we have a beverage.
Yes,
we
might have some cheese sticks out.
We have a cheese stick or a piece of pizza.
Yes.
We enjoy each other's company.
We
talk. We get
we
to
do
be in a more civilized situation than we typically are. That's the part I enjoy.
Me too.
What I don't enjoy is just getting beat all the time.
Well, I mean,
it would be like if you and I were going to play golf.
Yeah.
Like every time we went to play golf. What?
Yes. Well, you'd hate to see if I got like a hole in one or something.
I told you I saw one of those in person.
You did.
First time ever.
From a Canadian.
A Canuck.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I was worried that when my buddy said, hey, we're playing with a couple of Canucks, I thought it was like calling somebody a Hoosier, you know, like.
No, no.
I was like, dude, are you sure that's an okay word? But a Canadian's totally fine being
it
called a Canuck.
They love it. Well, they got together. That's a hockey team out there.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, how would you feel about being called a Cub?
Well, I'm not a Cub.
Well, it's a baseball team out there in America.
Yeah, but I mean, the Canucks is that's a term of endearment in Canada.
Tis.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned that it's.
So the
I don't
guy
know that
he got,
it's a
he got
term
a hole
of
in
endearment
one. This guy.
Yeah, Canuck. Huh. Probably had the personality of a fish too. Because so here's the deal: the guy wins.
It was a dry Canuck,
right? We're jumping up and down.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the guy.
The ball goes in the hole.
I'm like, dude, you got a hole in one.
Yeah.
I'm like, give me your phone. I'll take a picture of you guys. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm taking pictures. With the next hole is the hole that you get the beer from the beer cart.
That's the way it works.
So I said to the guy, buddy, we got to have a beer to celebrate. I'm not even drinking, so I'm buying him a beer. By the way, he's the one supposed to be buying a beer.
You bought a beer
for
the Canuck
guy that
got the hole in one.
Fast forward. Later that night.
Yeah.
Fast forward, game's over, went home, showered
holes,
up, showered up, blah, blah, blah. 20 miles from the golf course.
Yeah.
I'm walking into a hotel, walking out of a hotel. Guess who's walking into it?
The Canuck.
The Canuck.
With a hole
in one. And I said to him, I said, Andre. And he's with his wife. I said, hey, buddy, hole in one. And he looked at me and he just kind of nodded and kept moving. And I was like,
he's cool, Andre.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's a cool Canuck.
How can you get a hole in one and not be excited? He's a cool Canuck.
He's a cool Canuck.
He's a cool cucumber.
Yeah, and I mean that's what you want to be. You don't want to, you know, when you when you win. You know, when you win.
Yeah, you don't want to be one of those guys that has 21 that makes a scene.
Snooker
you
matches.
Know?
You don't want to make a big deal out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you don't want to choke on your own, you know.
When you come back from 16 points down and win a pool game, I mean, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to gloat. I mean, that would be unseemly.
What do you? How do you feel about ping pong?
Well, you know, I'm a recent adherent to the. Pickleball game.
By the way, how is that not a topic? You told me the other day you wouldn't play pickleball. Now, I've played pickleball. Yeah. There is a major physical action that happens in pickleball. John, I've seen you struggle sometimes looking for your keys.
I don't like to talk, Michael, but some magic happens when I get out there on the pickleball court. I got the racket there, and I happen to be ambidextrous.
No, you're not.
Well,
when you throw a baseball, what hand do you throw with?
If by ambidextrous means I put the paddle in my left hand and make an amazing shot over the net, then yes, I'm ambidextrous.
Or did you swing it from your left hand?
Yes, I put the paddle in my left hand, and I swung the paddle, I hit the ball, it goes over the net, and I win the point.
So does that mean you're ambidextrous in everything or just in pickleball?
Well, I play piano,
but here's,
so you got to be ambidextrous.
I play snooker. This is probably not a good comparison, but I play snooker and pool left-handed.
Yeah, I know you do, and I cannot play left-handed.
Yeah.
And it's one of my great regrets in life that I can't flip the cue stick over and play in my offhand, but that's the way it,
you know, I was thinking about you
crumbles.
The other day. You know, you're getting ready to go on this trip over to Scotland for
England,
and every time I think of you, I think of that story with Elton John, and you leave the phone and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, it was horrible.
I mean, you're going to have to do a lot of pre-planning, because would that not be a nightmare that you go across the ocean?
Yeah, that would be bad.
And, you know, the tickets
are,
lose your phone. That's not going to be good, brother.
Well, I mean, you just have to be present in the moment.
There you go.
Yeah, which is what I've learned. And, Georgianne and I are going to be going over to England at almost 1 month from today.
How cool is
that? We're leaving.
That's awesome.
And we'll be over there. I'm going to do the Churchill Museum. We're going to go to the Cotswolds. You know them.
I had dinner with them once.
Marge and Floyd Cotswold.
Yeah.
And we're going out there, and then I'm going to take the train to Sheffield.
You going to go look at all the royal stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. You got Kensington Palace out there. You got Buckingham Palace.
Uh-huh. You're going to go see them all, huh?
All of them.
Are you into, like, seeing the Beefeaters?
You got Big
and,
Ben. Big Ben out
Parliament.
There. The clock. You got the Parliament. It's
Big Ben is Parliament.
I know.
Okay.
There he is.
But the it's kind of that, you know, Big Ben, Parliament.
Yeah.
He's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. Hey, listen.
Yes.
We got the NFL Insider coming up. And even though it's kind of the offseason, there's still some NFL talk. But we'll also visit with our NFL insider about some other sports as well.
Yeah, he's into the NCAA tournament. I wonder how his bracket is faring. John Hancock is next after this on Camel X.
About to be a great night.
Feeling good tonight.
Yeah, this is one hell of a night.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on Camel X.
In the National Football League, the seasons change, but the objective stays the same. Off-season conditioning drives the themes, drives the schemes, drives the teams, who will decide the ultimate fate of winning and losing in the National Football League. Joining us now is our official NFL insider, John Hancock.
Hello, Junior. How are you, brother?
Gentlemen, I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine. Well, the introduction of you is one of my favorite things that happens every week. And let's get straight to it in the NFL. The Chiefs are trading L'Jarius Sneed, and how does that impact their repeating odds, and would that make some sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I think it's a loss in the short term, definitely, for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, they only got a third round draft pick from L'Jarius Sneed. So that defense is going to take a hit. He was a lockdown safety for him. Obviously, they have Trent McDuffie waiting in the wings to replace him. But I thought they could have held on to him one more year, and that's going to be a hit to them. And I think, you know, it definitely weakens that defense. And I think it decreases the odds they have to repeat ever so slightly.
I know we're going to get to the NCAA, but, you know, talking about safeties in the NFL, Sneed is traded. There were so many free agent safeties. Is that position becoming devalued in the same way that the running back position is in the NFL?
Yeah, absolutely. And excuse me, I misspoke. The valued cornerback, L'Jarius Sneed, not a safety. But you know, I think the secondary as a whole is getting you know, devalued. I think there's a lot of churn and burn year over year. You're not seeing, you know, the marquee names really shutting it down. And even some of the top guys in the defensive backfield, you know, they're slipping game to game.
It's hard for something to top the NFL when it comes to television, but we're living through one of the best times of the year. That's the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And my bracket's already busted. I got Illinois going all the way. I probably won't be participating in any victories of any money this year.
Yeah, I mean, Illinois still in it, though. My bracket's not looking pretty. It's beaten and blue, but I'm still mathematically alive, and that's all you can ask after opening weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And but, you know, this is just such a strange tournament because in the past we kind of knew who dominant teams were, et cetera. But it's kind of an old NFL expression, any given Sunday, any given game, somebody can win here. And that's what we've seen to this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were a lot of upsets in that opening round, but it's kind of surprising. You look at the Sweet 16, North Carolina State is the only double-digit seed who actually made it to the Sweet 16. You had a lot of great stories. Yale, James Madison, Jack Golke in Oakland, you know, Grand Canyon. A lot of you know, fun teams made it out of the opening round, but didn't get to.
Were you rooting for Yale? Were you feeling sorry for them kids? Oh. Things never seem to go their way, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. How about Polakidis, the Greek, career high 28 points in that win over Auburn?
But I like him. One of the only people out there that's like, listen, don't you have enough already, Yale? Now you got to win basketball games. Yeah. Go away. Yeah. Control the Supreme Court and leave the rest of us.
There you go.
Well, here's the thing. These Cinderella teams, you know, it's fun while it lasts, but it rarely lasts. And so you get down to the premier teams. That's what happens in the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight. And that's where we're heading. And I think a lot of the conventional wisdom right now thinks that UConn is going to walk away with the title this year.
Illinois.
Illinois second. When they got to go through UConn.
Exactly.
But here's my question, because my team, the one that I'm hoping for, pulling for, rooting for, is Purdue.
Ah, the Boilermakers.
They scored 100 points in their last game. Do they have a legit shot at this thing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're a one seed. They definitely have a legitimate shot. I agree with you. UConn looks like an absolute wagon, as the kids say right now. I don't see how anyone's going to get past them, but yeah, I certainly think Purdue definitely has a chance. They play Gonzaga. It's one of the weaker Gonzaga teams we've seen in recent years. And, you know, Tennessee and Creighton, I don't think are doing anything in the rest of that bracket. So I think they have a very strong chance to make it to the Final Four, and anything's possible from there.
We have to go back to the expression wagon because we like to be hip here on the Hancock and Kelly show.
It's the wagon.
What does it mean, Hancock?
You know, you got the wagon out there, and the kids have got the wagon, and they're pulling the wagon
along.
That's
nothing but cap over there. What does wagon mean?
He was spitting cap, Senior was right there.
Was he? Yeah.
I don't know how to explain this one. I mean, they're a wagon. You know, you don't want to get in the way or you get run over.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. It's like a Mack truck coming at you. It's a freight train. Yeah. It's a wagon.
It's like the old American Flyer wagon.
Does a wagon sound that really intimidating? It's not, you know.
Doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah. But, you know, there's. Yeah.
These kids.
I'd be interested to see where the vernacular.
Let me tell you, run over by a wagon heading out westward in 1812.
Now that's good.
Yeah, there you go.
You're going to feel it, buddy.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Junior, we've talked about the NCAA. My very favorite thing about the NCAA tournament is it means that right after it is the Masters. And as we look to the second Masters since the emergence of LIV Golf, it looks to be one of the few places that all of the best golfers in the world are going to be participating now. What's your take?
Yeah, so, like, I think Augusta and the Masters, they have an opportunity to do something great for golf. Say what you want about LIV. It's clear that they are not going away. It's here to stay. And, you know, the Masters has the opportunity to, you know, show the world that, you know, they can put all that to the side. At the end of the day, they're all about seeing the best golfers compete. And I think, you know, they can really, really show that by inviting Greg Norman for the ceremonial opening tee shot.
He never
for this Masters. Greg Norman.
Yeah,
I know, Michael, you're going to say he never won the green jacket. He never earned the right. But, you know, this is the same institution that, you know, has broken the glass ceiling with Condoleezza Rice. So I think that, you know, yeah, they have it in them to allow a non-Masters
champion. Okay, I got a better question. Why not let Lee Trevino do it? There's one of the all-time greats.
Because, let me tell you this.
Who never won the Masters, who's never
Greg
gotten
Norman.
The honor.
Greg Norman and Phil Mickelson have put more money in the PGA Tour players' pockets, more money than anyone not named Tiger Woods. And that's a fact. That is a fact.
But, I mean, your logic of bringing back...
it's all about unity. Controversy unity for here. The game. Unity for the game. We want, you know, we want the best. That's it. Bring Greg Norman up there. Let him hack it. I think it would be a strong message for golf.
It's a disappointing, it's actually a really disappointing argument you're making, because you're a man of baseball and you like tradition.
He's a football. He's the NFL insider.
But he's also likes baseball. Yeah, and he likes tradition.
Yeah,
The rule is Masters, those who are a member of the club participate. Those who don't, like Rory McIlroy, arguably going to be one of the top five golfers of all time. It's the only major he hasn't won. He may not ever get to do that ceremonial tee shot.
Well, you know, Rory hasn't made the money.
You want to bring back some washed up, you know, Saudi bootlicker
All I'm going to say, we need the big wigs in the PGA and the Saudis over there. We need them to, you know, put their differences aside, figure it out. Augusta, we want to see the best golfers compete against each other, regardless
of
their
John Rahm will be there. He's a live live player now.
I'm loving this.
He'll be the why? Because we're talking golf?
No, I mean you're going at it. I like this. I mean,
so have John Rahm hit the ceremonial shot.
Well, he will be.
He cheats.
He will be.
Doesn't
hosting.
He cheat? Isn't he the cheater?
No, John Rahm's a good dude. Oh. Yeah. No, that's it's not Wyndham Patrick Clark Reed. Either. It's Patrick Reed.
Yeah. No, that's who. Yeah, that's a cheater.
Allegedly,
yeah.
But John Rahm, allegedly, it's on camera.
He stole from his college teammates. So, you know, there were some bad feelings. They spread rumors throughout the community. But Greg Norman,
very important
shot. Heel golf.
Very important final question.
Ugh.
What do you want for your 30th birthday?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. I haven't put too much thought into it.
Well, it ain't going to be a Masters ticket.
I think Liv's coming to Chicago this summer.
That'll be fun.
Plenty of elbow space there. That's for sure.
Let me see Charles Schwartzel in the flesh. he's got a green jacket for you, Michael. Let him throw out the ceremonial drive.
Buddy, you are always a joy to spend time with. How is the weather in Chicago? It's raining here. Is it cold?
Yeah, it's a bit chilly, overcast, but no, we had snow on Friday. But
the NFL insider is going to be live with us next week.
Really, in studio?
Yes.
Are the Chicago people being a little bit cocky about this upcoming baseball season?
They are. They think Cody Bellinger is Willie Mays Hayes. It's a disaster over here. They're overconfident.
Hey, do you want to do Hancock and Kelly on a Sunday morning while we're over in England?
I'd have to come in town for it.
Yeah, you would. All right. Well, we'll figure that out.
I don't know if Michael's ready for that.
No, I'm ready for it. I just I would hope we could talk Greg Norman for sure.
Oh yeah, that'll be our A block.
When we come back, it's what's trending. Braxton Payne joins us. That's our NFL insider, John Hancock from Chicago, Illinois. It's Hancock and Kelly Late Night on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Everyone. week at this time, when Hancock and Kelly does our late night show, we go to the celebrity guest line, joined by Braxton Payne for What's Trending. Hey, Braxton, how are you, pal?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Everybody who's been involved here is aware of Gia. Gia's over a year old now. What's the latest with Gia? Have we got all of our teeth? Are we talking in sentences, etc.?
No talking sentences yet, but she definitely has about 4 or 5 teeth.
Nice.
But I don't know how I can follow John Hancock. I'm sorry. John Hancock Jr. I mean, that was just a phenomenal segment. I mean, that is award-winning.
It was what it was.
It was a preposterous argument, and I think that was the intent to get my blood pressure
it
up.
It was, yeah.
I did cry while laughing because that was such a good segment.
What do you think of the intros of John Jr., the whole the National Football League?
Well, I mean, he deserves it because he is the favorite child. Don't tell the other one, but yeah. He is definitely the favorite child.
No.
He's the most like his father.
No favorites.
Got the wit of his father, because about halfway through the setup of his argument about what is that goofball's name? Greg Norman. I knew exactly what he was doing. He was just trying to bait me.
But we're not here to talk about the past.
The past. No, we want to talk about what's going on in central part of St. Louis.
Yes.
We know that you've been involved with Fontbonne Volleyball. You're on the coaching staff out there. We've since learned that Fontbonne's being sold. What is going on?
Yeah, so it's really sad. So Fontbonne is being sold to WashU. So we still have another whole year left. And all the kids that are going to stay, they get a free year of tuition. WashU is buying the entire campus for an undisclosed amount. So we do not know how much it is. But they're buying
the
entire...
It's got to be buku bucks, right? Like, is there more valuable real estate in St. Louis than next to the park in WashU?
But the history. I mean, just that university in college before goes back how long, Brax?
120 years.
Wow.
Catholic, so right? Wasn't it originally an all-girls? Sisters of St. Joseph's. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Sisters of St. Joseph's founded it about 120 years ago. And they did a prayer service just about a week ago, but they are selling out. And
so, who gets the money? The Sisters of St. Joseph's now? Like, I mean, they're going to have a ton of cash. Who gets all the money? Well, when you buy a college like that, how's that work?
Not sure, but I do know that we are about $7 or $8 million in the hole. So I'm sure a lot of that's going to go to debt services. And then, I don't know, like WashU, what they're going to do with the campus. I'm assuming they're going to keep it alive. But they're also in the city of Clayton, which WashU is in the city of St. Louis and U-City. And the city of Clayton is a little bit more difficult when it comes to renovating and doing things. So it'll be interesting to see what they are able to do with
the campus. Let's look at the positive thing of this for the alumni who are devastated by the fact that they're closing the school. If WashU buys you, does that mean that you get a new diploma that says WashU on it? You can get yourself a WashU diploma. Heck, you'll be able to get a big raise if you show up with a WashU diploma somewhere.
So the thing is like SLU is actually going to take over our entire academics. So technically, I guess I get a SLU diploma. I don't know.
How's that work?
Very confusing.
Wait a minute. WashU's buying it, but SLU takes over.
It's all very confusing. Yeah.
They're taking over all the technical records. So they're doing everything from scholarships to all the old academic records, so like my transcripts, all of that will be now SLU records.
Oh, wow. So if you were going to go to get a doctorate and you had to show that you had your undergraduate degree, you now would have to call SLU and say, hey, I went to Fontbonne, give me my documents.
Yep, exactly. So that'll all start next year. So like Fontbonne, like I said, is going to be open until the end of summer of 2025.
Yeah. So was there an effort afoot to save the campus to continue the tradition? Did somebody try and mount a fundraising campaign, or did this just kind of happen out of the blue?
It did happen out of the blue, but I think, though, is our president, Nancy Blatter, which, God bless her, she's been trying for several years to get us out of the dark there. And unfortunately, I don't think she could figure it out. But most universities, when they close right away. And so the fact that we're going to be open for a whole another year and that everyone's going to get free tuition for a whole year, I think is good on her.
Well, that's a good deal. Yeah, that's a good deal. So more importantly, for the purposes of this segment, what happens to the volleyball program there at Fontbonne?
We're hoping for a next generation. So we got two more road games. We're going to Ohio this weekend and then Michigan the next weekend. But we're hoping that some of the kids will stay around maybe for one more season. But if not, there could be a couple more universities around town that could have a new men's volleyball program.
Yeah, and Brax, you and some of your buddies have really spent a lot of time compiling some real talent over there at Fontbonne that was really growing a program. I hope you guys are all able to continue it somewhere.
Maybe Ansel. Who knows?
Hey, that's our alma mater, Hancock. Maybe we could. You know,
that was the last school in the country that would take us.
That was the last school that would take us. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Hey, just on a personal note, for those of us who've been a part of the alumni program and the volleyball alumni program and charitable activities over there, now that it's been sold to WashU, do those cease?
Hello?
I think I lost him.
We lost Brex. No, there he is.
Oh, no,
he's back.
Sorry.
To the magic of telecommunications.
Yeah, I was just saying, am I still going to be a big supporter of
you're done,
alumni?
Yeah. It's over.
So if you want to just Venmo me directly, that would be great. We will accept all donations for the rest of the week. Thursday night, we're doing a nice dinner in Indianapolis. We're doing St. Elmo's and an Indy, if anyone knows.
Oh, great restaurant.
Great
restaurant.
Tell me about it.
St. Elmo's.
Oh.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's the best restaurant. I mean, they
got the famous steakhouse.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to
Is
be
it in downtown
so
in Indy, or where's
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep. Downtown Indy.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to do it right. If we're going out, we're going to go out right. That's what we're going to do.
What are you going to order?
Ooh. Something. A filet, probably, with some potatoes on the side, maybe a little bit of mac and cheese. Yeah.
What about a béarnaise sauce? Will you have a béarnaise sauce?
Ooh, that sounds good, too.
What is a béarnaise?
So you got to,
Is it made with eggs or butter?
Yeah, it's got the stuff on it. You don't want to ruin a good steak with a bunch of sauce.
Really?
No.
You don't put sauce on steak?
Only on the rarest of occasions.
Oh, when it's rare, you'll do that?
No.
Oh.
What I do like is the lobster ravioli sauce
on top of your steak.
Yes, at Paul.
Oh, yes.
Now you just told me that every week at this time, when Hancock and Kelly does our late night show, we go to the celebrity guest line, joined by Braxton Payne for what's trending. Hey, Braxton, how are you, pal?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Everybody who's been involved here is aware of Gia. Gia's over a year old now. What's the latest with Gia? Have we got all of our teeth? Are we talking in sentences, etc.?
No talking sentences yet, but she definitely has about 4 or 5 teeth.
Nice.
But I don't know how I can follow John Hancock. I'm sorry. John Hancock Jr. I mean, that was just a phenomenal segment. I mean, that is award-winning.
It was what it was.
It was a preposterous argument, and I think that was the intent to get my blood pressure
it
up.
It was, yeah.
I did cry while laughing because that was such a good segment.
What do you think of the intros of John Jr., the whole National Football League?
Well, I mean, he deserves it because he is the favorite child. Don't tell the other one, but yeah. He is definitely the favorite child.
No.
He's
favorites.
The most like his father.
No favorites.
Got the wit of his father, because about halfway through the setup of his argument about what is that goofball's name? Greg Norman. I knew exactly what he was doing. He was just trying to bait me.
But we're not here to talk about the past.
The past. No, we want to talk about what's going on in central part of St. Louis.
Yes.
We know that you've been involved with Fontbonne Volleyball. You're on the coaching staff out there. We've since learned that Fontbonne's being sold. What is going on?
Yeah, so it's really sad. So Fontbonne is being sold to WashU. So we still have another whole year left. And all the kids that are going to stay, they get a free year of tuition. WashU is buying the entire campus for an undisclosed amount. So we do not know how much it is. But they're
it's
buying
gotta
the
be
entire...
buku bucks, right? Like, is there more valuable real estate in St.
I mean,
Louis
right.
than next to the park in WashU?
But the history. I mean, just the that university in college before goes back how long, Brax?
120 years.
Wow.
Catholic, so right? Wasn't it originally an all-girls? Sister of St. Joseph's. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Sister of St. Joseph's founded it about 120 years ago. And they did a prayer service just about a week ago. But they are selling out. And
so who gets the money? The Sisters of St. Joseph's now? Like, I mean, they're going to have a ton of cash. Who gets all the money? Well, when you buy a college like that, how's that work?
Not sure, but I do know that we are about $7 or $8 million in the hole, so I'm sure a lot of that's going to go to debt services. And then I don't know, like WashU, what they're going to do with the campus. I'm assuming they're going to keep it alive, but they're also in the city of Clayton, which WashU is in the city of St. Louis and U City. And the city of Clayton is a little bit more difficult when it comes to renovating and doing things. So it'll be interesting to see what they are able to do with
the campus.
Let's
look at the positive thing of this for the alumni who are devastated by the fact that they're closing the school. If WashU buys you, does that mean that you get a new diploma that says WashU on it? You can get yourself a WashU diploma. Heck, you'll be able to get a big raise if you show up with a WashU diploma somewhere.
So the thing is like SLU is actually going to take over our entire academics. So technically, I guess I get a SLU diploma. I don't know.
How's that
That's
work?
Very
so
confusing.
Wait a minute. WashU's buying it, but SLU takes over
it's
the,
all very
the diplomas.
Confusing. Yeah.
They're taking over all the technical records. So they're doing like, you know, everything from scholarships to you know, all the old academic records, so like my transcripts, all of that will be now SLU records.
Oh, wow. So if you were going to go to get a doctorate and you had to show that you had your undergraduate degree, you now would have to call SLU and say, hey, I went to Fontbonne, give me my documents.
Yep, exactly. So that'll all start next year. So like Fontbonne, like I said, is going to be open until the end of summer of 2025.
Yeah, so was there an effort afoot to save the campus, to continue the tradition? Did somebody try and mount a fundraising campaign, or did this just kind of happen out of the blue?
It did happen out of the blue, but I think, though, is our president, Nancy Blatter, which, God bless her, she's been trying for several years to get us out of the dark there. And unfortunately, I don't think she could figure it out. But most universities, when they close right away. And so the fact that we're going to be open for a whole another year and that everyone's going to get free tuition for a whole year, I think is good on her.
Well, that's a good deal. Yeah, that's a good deal. So more importantly, for the purposes of this segment, what happens to the volleyball program there at Fontbonne?
We're hoping for a next generation. So we got two more road games. We're going to Ohio this weekend and then Michigan the next weekend. But we're hoping that some of the kids will stay around maybe for one more season. But if not, there could be a couple more universities around town that could have a new men's volleyball program.
Yeah, and Brax, you and some of your buddies have really spent a lot of time compiling some real talent over there at Fontbonne. that was really growing a program. I hope you guys are all able to continue it somewhere.
Maybe Unsel. Who knows?
Hey, that's our alma mater, Hancock. Maybe we could, you know.
That was the last school in the country that would take us.
That was the last school that would take us. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Hey, just on a personal note, for those of us who've been a part of the alumni program and the volleyball alumni program and charitable activities over there, now that it's been sold to WashU, do those cease?
Hello?
I think I lost him.
We lost Brex. No, there he is.
Oh,
he's back.
Sorry.
To the magic of telecommunications.
Yeah, I was just saying, am I still going to be a big supporter of
you're done,
alumni?
Yeah. It's over.
So if you want to just Venmo me directly, that would be great. we will accept all donations for the rest of the week. Thursday night, we're doing a nice dinner in Indianapolis. We're doing St. Elmo's and an Indy, if anyone knows.
Great restaurant.
What is it?
Tell me about it.
St. Elmo's.
Oh.
I've never been there.
Oh, it's the best restaurant. I mean, they got the
famous steakhouse.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it's going to
Is it in downtown
so
Indy, or where's
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yep.
Huh.
Yep. Downtown Indy.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to do it right. If we're going out, we're going to go out right. That's what we're going to do.
What are you going to order?
Ooh. Something. A filet, probably, with some potatoes on the side, maybe a little bit of mac and cheese.
What about a Bernays sauce? Will you have a Bernays sauce?
Ooh, that sounds good, too.
What is a Bernays?
No, well, you got to, it's the, you know.
Is it made with eggs or butter?
Yeah, it's got the stuff on it. And, you don't want to ruin a good steak with a bunch of sauce.
Really?
No.
You don't put sauce on steak?
Only on the rarest of occasions.
Oh, when it's rare, you'll do that?
No.
Oh.
What I do like is the lobster ravioli sauce.
On top of your steak?
Yes, at Paul
Lewis. Yes.
Now, you just told me that the sauces aren't good on steak.
Except for that sauce on that steak in that place. But other than that, you got to let the steak speak for itself.
Yeah.
He's telling you, I am yummy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling you, you know, this is going to be special.
So the only thing that would you're allowed to taint a special steak with is a bunch of heavy whipping cream and a lobster sauce.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what, the culinary.
Some capers in there.
I love capers.
You
know, a very
mushroom.
Underrated garnish.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what's overused? Parsley.
What purpose does it serve?
It doesn't even taste good.
It has no taste.
No.
It's just a green thing.
And it gets caught in your teeth.
And it just bleh, and it's right there, and it doesn't. What does it do? It doesn't do anything. No. The caper.
It provides green. Now, what about ginger? You ever had ginger on the side?
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever.
It's kind of nice. It's a palate cleanser.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, the caper. It's got a little lemony, you know, thing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
It's a very underrated garnish.
All right, so, Brax, what vegetable will you be pairing with this filet when you go to St. Elmo's?
Spinach, of course.
Asparagus.
Asparagus.
It has to be asparagus.
Now, the problem with asparagus is you're dealing with it for a whole 12 to 20 hours.
You can smell it for a while, but
every time you go to the bathroom, everybody's like, that guy just had asparagus.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that tells you it's doing something.
Yeah.
You know, there's not everything you eat that you can tell you ate it.
Corn.
You know?
I think we've done what we can do here now.
This is award-winning radio.
Anything trending out there, Brax?
Nope.
He's Braxton Payne. We'll talk to you again next week. Junior's going to be in studio live with us next week.
Oh, nice.
And if people wanted to support the volleyball club in its last year or so, Brax, is there a website, a Facebook, or a Venmo that you could throw out there?
Go to fontbongriffin.com. And then also BraxtonSTL on Instagram.
There you go. There you go.
He's Braxton Payne. Hancock Kelly, roll on after this right here on the greatest radio station in America, KMOX.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Well, we just talked about Funtbon University is going away and reminded me that we've got all these universities out there all over the place. Thousands of them. And several of them found their way into the NCAA basketball tournament this year, Michael.
That's right.
So we're going to do a little test of your geographical knowledge.
I'm good at this.
So, you know, UConn, for example, we can safely say is in the state of
Connecticut.
You were yawning.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Am I keeping you up over there?
No, there was a light in my eye, and it causes the yawn.
They played in the first round. They're a number one seed, UConn from Connecticut. They played Stetson. Stetson is from what state?
Well, you would think it would be Texas, because that's where the Stetson hats.
They got
hats
their hats
are from,
out,
but it's actually
there.
Oklahoma.
Stetson is in?
Stetson is in Florida.
Florida!
Oh,
all right.
Well, yeah,
so we're zero for one if you're keeping score at home.
Hey, UConn.
Now, I'm going to give you a gimme here.
Was UConn
Florida Atlantic, we know, of course, is likely located in
It's in Florida.
They played in the first round Northwestern.
Well, that's in Chicago.
Yes.
That's Illinois.
Yes,
yeah,
all right, very good. Mm-hmm. And then we matriculate down the grid here. The number six, Brigham Young University, of course, in Utah. We all know that. They took on the number 11 seed, Duquesne.
Now, that's a good question, and it's going to be either up east or I'm going to say Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
It's east. I mean, I'll give you a hint. It's more east than Milwaukee.
Well, of course, Milwaukee, but
much of the country is
in Milwaukee. But okay, is it in Ohio?
No,
I don't know.
It's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh. Yeah. So we're I think we're 1-1-2. So it's not bad, Michael. I'm proud of you.
See, how come they don't name, you know, like
Pittsburgh Iowa State, the number two seed, right up there in good old
most miserable state in the country,
Iowa. Yeah. They took on Drake.
Drake is in Indiana. No?
Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines.
Iowa State against Drake. That's an interstate rivalry, Michael.
We're
1-3 at this point if you're keeping score at home. North Carolina.
That's in North Carolina.
It is. Okay. And they're the number one seed. They took on the number 16 seed, Wagner, which is from where?
Ohio.
No.
What, do you know where they're at?
Where are they
They're
from?
In Staten Island.
New York, buddy. They got a lot of schools in New York up there. All right, hold on. I've just
How
lost my...
How about I do this to you?
Well, because that was my idea. So we're now 1-4. We're moving on down the grid here. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got that.
Oakland.
Yeah?
Where are they at?
They're in Detroit.
Well, they're outside of Detroit, but you're right.
Well, it's Oakland County, which is right outside of Wayne County, which is where Detroit is, and that's where Oakland is.
Where all the Greeks live.
Uh-huh. Houston takes on Longwood in the first round. Longwood being from?
California.
Good bet.
Yeah.
Virginia.
They're in Virginia, Michael. We're 1-5. Okay, Nebraska, Wisconsin. Oh, here's an easy one for you.
Okay, all right.
One of the presidents of the United States, James Madison, took on the vaunted Wisconsin team.
Wisconsin.
James Madison is in?
Virginia.
Yes! That's very, we're 2-5 now.
Wisconsin's in Wisconsin.
Yes, this is really going well now. okay, we're going to Purdue, the number one seat.
Yeah,
they took on Grambling.
Grambling is in either Mississippi or Alabama. I'm going to say Mississippi.
You're very close, Michael. It's in Louisiana.
Is it?
It is. So we're now 1-2-6, I think.
Is that an HBU, Grambling?
Close to, it is. It is, and a very good one.
That's awesome.
Our final question on this important survey
Mizzou didn't
that
make
we're
the tournament.
Doing here. the University of Kansas almost lost their first-round competition. They won it, then they got kicked out by Gonzaga in the second round. But in the first round, they played Samford. Samford. Where are they from?
I have no clue. Arizona.
No.
Homewood, Alabama.
Alabama.
Sweet home,
that's
Alabama. Did you know this stuff?
Some of them.
Yeah.
Samford is actually a Christian. One of my very good friends graduated from Samford.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I guess someday Lindenwood could be in there, right?
Could be.
If they win their conference, they'd be one of these obscure questions.
Well, they're a Division I school
Division
now.
Division I school now, yeah.
They fired the hockey coach over there. I don't know if you saw that.
I think they've been getting rid of a lot of them.
The former Blues defenseman, Rick Zombo. was the coach.
I remember Rick Zombo playing for the Blues. Yeah. Back, those were in the Sutter, just right after the Sutter
days. Back in the 90s. Zombo, good, steady, stay-at-home defenseman. Nothing, you know, spectacular.
He could mix it up in a fight.
Solid guy, good defenseman. And the Blues, are they still losing, Matt? I think they were down 1-0. They're playing the L.A. The Las Vegas, whatever
Knights.
They are,
Golden Knights.
Which we have to beat to make it to the playoffs. So this is a big game for the Blues.
Yeah,
over
and we're
going to
get into this
Enterprise
whole
Center.
Las Vegas thing, show high, betting, because, you know, betting is ever present now in every aspect of sport. You know,
they own the thing.
The advertisements, the et cetera. And this show high is a really, that whole scandal is a really interesting experiment that's going
to
play out.
Well, as you know, I don't like to talk, but this next hour, the 9 o'clock hour of Hancock and Kelly late night Monday on the Voice of St. Louis could be one of the finest hours of radio that has ever been delivered over the H2 1A C4 transmitter over there on the east side that transmits our signal all across the country, Michael. And this next hour with Maria Kina, your experiences with ATMs, automatic teller machines, Shohei Ohtani, and pollen and cicadas may be something very special.
Interesting that we're KMOX, which means we're west of the Mississippi, but our signal comes from east of the Mississippi.
Funny how that works.
Huh.
The news is next. It's Kelly and Hancock late night right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I have been thinking all evening about how to best say this.
Now, back to Late Night with Hancock and Kelly on King of OX.
Well, we just talked about Funtbon University is going away and reminded me that we've got all these universities out there all over the place. Thousands of them. And several of them found their way into the NCAA basketball tournament this year, Michael.
That's right.
And so we're going to do a little test of your geographical knowledge.
I'm good at this.
So, you know, UConn, for example, we can safely say is in the state of
Connecticut.
You were yawning.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Am I keeping you up over there?
No, there was a light in my eye, and it causes the me yawn.
They played in the first round. They're a number one seed, UConn, from Connecticut. They played Stetson. Stetson is from what state?
Well, you would think it would be Texas because that's where the
hats.
Stetson
they got
hats
their
are
hats
from,
out,
but it's
out
actually
there.
Oklahoma.
Stetson is in?
Stetson is in Florida.
Florida!
Oh,
all right.
Well, yeah,
so we're 0-1 if you're keeping score.
Well,
at home.
Hey, UConn.
Now, I'm going to give you a gimme here.
Was UConn
Florida Atlantic, we know, of course, is likely located in
It's in Florida.
They played in the first round, Northwestern.
Well, that's in Chicago.
Yes.
That's Illinois.
Yes, all right. Very good. Mm-hmm. And then we matriculate down the grid here. The number six, Brigham Young University, of course, in Utah. We all know that. They took on the number 11 seed, Duquesne.
Now, that's a good question, and it's going to be either up east or I'm going to say Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
It's east. I mean, I'll give you a hint. It's more east than Milwaukee.
Well, of course, Milwaukee, but
much of the country is
in Milwaukee. But okay, is it in Ohio?
No,
I don't know.
It's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh. Pennsylvania. Yeah. So we're I think we're at 1-1-2. So it's not bad, Michael. I'm proud of you.
See, how come they don't name
Iowa State, the number two seed, right up there in
most miserable state in the country,
Iowa. Yeah. They took on Drake.
Indiana. No?
Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines.
Iowa State against Drake. That's an interstate rivalry, Michael.
I didn't know that Drake was
1-3 at this point, if you're keeping score at home. North Carolina.
That's in North Carolina.
It is. Okay. And they're the number one seed. They took on the number 16 seed, Wagner, which is from where?
Ohio.
No.
What, do you know where they're at?
Where are they from?
They're in Staten Island.
New York, buddy. They got a lot of schools in New York up there. All right, hold on. I've just lost my...
How about I do this to you?
Well, because that was my idea. So we're now 1-4. We're moving on down the grid here. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got that.
Oakland.
Yeah?
Where are they at?
They're in Detroit.
Well, they're outside of Detroit, but you're right.
Well, it's Oakland County, which is right outside of Wayne County, which is where Detroit is, and that's where Oakland is.
Where all the Greeks live.
Uh-huh. Houston takes on Longwood in the first round. Longwood being from?
California.
Good bet.
Yeah.
Virginia.
They're in Virginia, Michael. We're 1-5. Okay, Nebraska, Wisconsin. Oh, here's an easy one for you.
Okay, all right.
One of the presidents of the United States, James Madison, took on the vaunted Wisconsin team.
Wisconsin.
James Madison is in?
Virginia.
Yes! That's very, we're 2-5 now.
Wisconsin's in Wisconsin.
Yes, this is really going well now. okay, we're going to Purdue, the number one seat. Yeah, they took on Grambling.
Grambling is in either Mississippi or Alabama. I'm going to say Mississippi.
You're very close, Michael. It's in Louisiana.
Is it?
It is. So we're now 1-2-6, I think.
Is that an HBU, Grambling? Close to,
it is, and a very good one.
That's awesome.
Our final question on this important survey that we're doing here. the University of Kansas almost lost first-round competition. They won it, then they got kicked out by Gonzaga in the second round. But in the first round, they played Samford. Samford. Where are they from?
I have no clue. Arizona.
No.
Homewood, Alabama.
Alabama.
Sweet home,
that's
Alabama. Did you know this stuff?
Some of them.
Yeah.
Samford is actually a Christian. One of my very good friends graduated from Samford.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I guess someday Lindenwood could be in there, right?
Could be.
If they win their conference, they'd be one of these obscure questions.
Well, they're a Division I school
Division
now.
Division I school now, yeah.
They fired the hockey coach over there. I don't know if you saw that.
I think they've been getting rid of a lot of them.
The former the Blues defenseman, Rick Zombo, was the coach.
I remember Rick Zombo playing for the Blues.
Yeah.
Back, those were in the Sutter, just right after the Sutter
days. Back in the 90s. Zombo, good, steady, stay-at-home defenseman. Nothing, spectacular.
He could mix it up in a fight.
Solid guy. Good defenseman. And the Blues, are they still losing, Matt? I think they were down 1-0. They're playing the L.A., the Las Vegas, whatever
Knights.
They are.
Golden, Knights.
Golden
Las
Knights.
Vegas Knights.
Which we have to beat to make it to the playoffs. So this is a big game for the Blues.
Yeah, and we're going to get into this
Enterprise
whole
Center.
Las Vegas thing, show high, betting, because, betting is ever-present now in every aspect of sport.
They own the thing.
The advertisements, the et cetera. And this show high is a really, that whole scandal is a really interesting experiment that's going to play out.
Well, here. As you know, I don't like to talk, but this next hour, the 9 o'clock hour of Hancock and Kelly late night Monday on the Voice of St. Louis could be one of the finest hours of radio that has ever been delivered over the H2 1A C4 transmitter over there on the east side that transmits our signal all across the country, Michael. And this next hour with Maria Kina. Your experiences with ATMs, automatic teller machines, Shohei Ohtani, and pollen and cicadas may be something very special.
Interesting that we're KMOX, which means we're west of the Mississippi, but our signal comes from east of the Mississippi.
Funny how that works.
Huh.
The news is next. It's Kelly and Hancock late night right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.